This is the Northwest Passage on KLCC. Most of us know someone or has personal experience regarding Sasquatch sightings. Other cultures do as well, and other names for the elusive beast include Bigfoot and Yeti. My guest today, Toby Johnson, has his own story to tell, and he's organized this weekend's Sasquatch Symposium at Lane Community College. Toby, welcome to the Northwest Passage.
Thanks for having me, Trip.
I understand you are somewhat of a student of the Sasquatch. Let's start our conversation with some of the mythology or the stories surrounding Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti.
Oh, sure. Well, as far as I know here, living in Eugene, Oregon, and Oregon in general, of course, the myth of a large, hairy, bipedal animal roaming in our forest is something that I grew up with. But peripherally, outside of the state, there seems to be an ongoing legend, especially with the Native Americans, when it has to do with a large, hairy creature that we've had not only in the U.S., long-term, but also even outside the U.S., when you mention the Yeti, of course, that's the Tibetan Bigfoot, and they even have the Australian version of the Bigfoot. So the story does live on, and it's been interesting, of course, here planning an event about this very subject.
What are some of the names Native Americans call Bigfoot by?
Well, you know, Skookum is a word that people should look up, because we do have Indian place names here in Oregon and Washington and all throughout the United States. Of course, we have Skookum Creek up here nearby, up near Oak Ridge, and other names like Spirit Lake, Siatco. Of course, Sasquatch is another one. And there's over 150 other place names as it relates to, you know, what the Indians individually called Bigfoot.
Are there any, could you give us an example of a native story about Bigfoot in a Northwest culture?
Well, let's see. One of the more interesting ones that I remember hearing was written by a gal named Kathy Moskowitz-Strain, who's a speaker at the Sasquatch Symposium this 19th and 20th here. And she goes on to say in her book, there's a story about a young Indian boy who was warned not to go into the woods late at night. But being a teenager, he, of course, didn't listen to his tribal parents and did what he darn well wanted. And anyway, he was unfortunately captured by a female Sasquatch and kept in a cave where he was bound for a series of days by her. And late at night, I think he was able to convince her or trick her and get away. And unfortunately, The Sasquatch lost her teenage lover in a canoe ride out to the Pacific, but she wasn't going to let him go without throwing a large boulder at him. And today you can still see that boulder off the California coast called Pestle Rock. So, you know, these landmarks have these great Bigfoot stories behind them sometimes.
And you, sir, what Bigfoot story do you have to share today?
Well, mine's so much more less interesting than that. You know, for me, it really just it took a cold January morning where me and my son were on a hike. My blessed little boy looked down. I looked down. I got my camera out of my backpack, and I started taking a picture of what seemed to be a large human-looking footprint. And it was headed, you know, up an embankment, off through the brambles. And, you know, my son took one look at it, and he looked at me, and he said, "Why are you doing that?" And to me, that question really stuck with me. Why was I taking a picture of what looked like a large human footprint? Well, it's because I wanted there to be a Bigfoot, to be honest. I really, you know, I have to be honest about that. Of course I want this to be real. I think we all do. There's something in each one of us, I think, that wants these myths and these legends to come true. And, you know, Trip, I really thought at the end of the day I would find out that this was just another great story that I could tell my son. What ended up happening is that I wound up talking to some people that seemed to, you know, have these incredible experiences and these incredible backgrounds.
When you were looking at the footprint, what did it feel like? Were you scared? Were you excited? Were you looking around for Bigfoot?
You know, I wasn't, because it was in an area that was fairly close to town, so that didn't make sense to me. I was really curious about the nature of what my mind was doing to kind of gather evidence and why I would jump to the conclusion, you know, and say that this could be, right? So I really put it away for for a period of 3 or 4 months, and then I got back on it and I took another look at the picture, and I started to shop it around to people that might know more about the subject. And you know, when I sat and I heard their stories about close encounters with these creatures, there's just a truth meter that you can kind of read on a human instinct. And when a person starts to well up with tears and you can see visually the hair stand up on their arm, these stories take on a whole new meaning.
What would you do if you came face to face with Sasquatch?
At night or day?
you make the story up.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's not been a time where I thought that I was having an encounter to really test my, you know, my scared meter. You know, I've been told what to do by people that are in the know as far as what works and what doesn't work. You know, I would just love to interact with one of these creatures. I have no, you know, intentions of trying to prove their existence or not. But if I ever did have an experience, to just have that brief interaction with them would just, it would be such an amazing experience.
And among those who are seeking Sasquatch are scientists and professors who are involved in this as well. Have you spoken with some of them?
Yeah, in fact, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, who is pulling into town today at Eugene, will be speaking, of course, on the behalf of a Sasquatch in his book, Sasquatch Legend Meets Science. He's a PhD in anthropological morphology of the human trackway, so he understands trackways better than anybody, and he can really discern a hoax, you know, footprint after it's cast from the animation that might be possible to glean from there. And he's one of those people that can speak to this a whole lot better than me. But it doesn't just stop with Meldrum. When I say incredible background, I'm talking about people that work for Lane County here that have experienced this, that are physicians, that have the credentials behind them to say that they know what they're looking at.
You have a book with you today. That's what I wanted to ask you about.
Oh, what's sure. Yeah, I did. I did bring a book today. You know, this cover here of the book Enoch, a Bigfoot story, written by one of the guests that will be speaking, Autumn Williams. Really, from the people that have seen this limited book here and seen the cover of it, it really speaks to the emotional response that I've seen when people retell these stories here. And having not seen one of these creatures here, I can't really speak to how realistic this rendering is, but it is an amazing cover of a book, and it really is going to validate, I think, what eyewitnesses have said they've seen, and I don't think it's been captured the right way until now.
You must remark about your Bigfoot t-shirt. You got a Bigfoot on your t-shirt. Tell us about the logo.
Sure. Well, I tried to come up with a design to represent the Oregon Sasquatch Symposium that really married the Native American culture with us, because I think there needs to be due respect to their beliefs when what it has to do with Sasquatch. So I did put a lot of tribal design work into it there, and it kind of marries together our footprint with a big footprint, and I'm pleased with it.
Real quickly, the timing and the setup for the symposium as we wrap up the interview.
Well, sure. I invite everybody to come out to the Red Lion tomorrow at 7 o'clock to get a feel for some of the speakers and what we'll be doing on the 19th and 20th out of LCC. It'll be a time where you can actually meet some of these speakers absolutely free upstairs at the Red Lion from 7 to 9, get an idea of what Bob Gimlin saw up at Bluff Creek. And the 19th and 20th, it's going to be a time where eyewitnesses can meet with experts in the field and other eyewitnesses and share their incredible stories.
Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Toby Johnson is helping organize the Oregon Sasquatch Symposium this Saturday and Sunday at Lane Community College. More info at OregonSasquatchSymposium.com.